Our scripture reading for today is a familiar one to many of us. It's out of the Gospel of John. We're looking at chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. But if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. The word of the Lord. Seated. So, I don't know if you have seen the Coen brothers' film, The Big Lebowski. This is a film that kind of has a limited fan base. I'm not even sure I would necessarily consider myself a fan of the movie, but as I read the passage for today, I couldn't help but think about this film. I'll tell you why. It's about Jeff Bridges stars as a guy that you only really find out by the name The Dude. He likes to go by the name The Dude. He is a guy that demonstrates an unflappable chill in life. The things he values is hanging out with his friends. He's got one or two of them. And bowling. That's pretty much it. Every once in a while, he likes a good bath. But that's really comprises the entirety of the dude's life. Well, the dude would live life just like this, moving from bowling game to hanging out and having a few laughs with his friends and having a nice bath every once in a while. Except for the fact that he got mistaken for another guy named, not the dude, but his actual name, Lebowski. The difference between this Lebowski and the Big Lebowski is the Big Lebowski is actually this rich guy. Worked hard all of his life, amassed massive amounts of wealth. But the Big Lebowski is in trouble with some mob guys. The other Lebowski, the dude, is not in trouble. He's never even met these guys. But in a case of mistaken identity, gets into all kinds of shenanigans. Which is, you know, if you just really had a movie about a guy who liked to bowl and hang out with his friends, wouldn't do very well. In fact, this movie didn't do very well at the box office at all. But it has amassed a following because of something that happens near the end of the movie. So Jeff Bridges' character, like I said, goes on all of these adventures that he didn't ask for, exaggerated by his friend, his buddy, who's played by John Goodman, who just makes everything kind of worse. And those of you who've seen the film are laughing right now, and I enjoy that. But you get to the end of the movie, and you meet another character who you only met one other time, and that was at the beginning of the character, and he acts as kind of a narrator. He's a cowboy stranger in that sets up the film. And by the end of the film, where you met him in the bowling alley, after Jeff Bridges' character, the dude, has gone on all of these crazy adventures, finds that this mysterious stranger is there back in the bowling alley and sees the dude, and they kind of recap those adventures. And as the dude is walking away, the stranger says, "Hey, take it easy, dude." The dude turns, and if you've seen this movie, you know what I'm about to say. The dude turns and says, "Hey, the dude abides." You have no idea what that means, right? No idea. That phrase has created such a following, such a cult following. The dude abides. Like I said, it didn't do very well at the box office, but it's become a cult classic to the point that there was a store in Lower Manhattan in Greenwich Village that was it's called the Little Lebowski. And you can go into this store and there's nothing in this store except things devoted to the movie, The Big Lebowski. You can buy a t-shirt with the dude's face on it and it just says, "Abide." You can buy bumper stickers, keychains, wall art. You can buy full sculptures of the dude in various poses, often with the phrase, "Abide," in it. In fact, I'll take you one further. There is a religion called dudism. I'm serious. There is a religion called dudism that is all about embodying the spirit of the dude. Which the spirit of the dude is a lifestyle in which you abide. Exactly, you've gotten it. Abide. So now you know, as I read today's passage, why I thought about The Big Lebowski. And I thought, is that what we're being asked to do? Are we being asked to, well, one, kind of simplify our life, find ourselves in a wonderful used sweater and bowl and kind of hang out with friends and try and avoid the major adventures of life, things that rattle us, maybe enjoy a nice bath every once in a while? Is that the Christian message? Are we to be the dude? Certainly, Jesus is saying to us that our job is to abide. But I'm not sure that it means the same thing, though I think there's a few things we can learn from the dude. When the dude says abide, he is saying, at least in terms of dudism, he is saying that doesn't let life bother him. He moves through life looking at some simple things and really not letting anything but those few things define his life. He's not going to get worked up about what's going on in the world, not going to get worked up about money, not going to get worked up about fame, about success, and blah, blah, blah. He just abides. And I look at what Jesus is saying, and I think this passage is so striking for the world that we live in, because when I think about us, and I think about our culture, I don't think a lot about abiding. In fact, in this movie, The Big Lebowski, the character, The Big Lebowski, the big rich guy, criticizes the dude for being a slacker, for providing no contribution to society whatsoever. "You're meaningless," says his life is meaningless. It's that it's nothing. Because in our culture, we don't value abiding. We value producing. We value doing. We talk about it all the time to the point that we don't even recognize the shock value of it anymore when we talk about how jam-packed our schedules are. My heart is starting to break a little bit every time I say, "Hey, how you doing?" And people respond, "Busy." Right. Busy. And I say, oh, like, and for us, I think we see that as a value to be able to say, "Oh, I'm so busy," because what we're saying is that we hope the person on the other side gives us a little bit of a high five spiritually and go, "Yeah, I know. If you're busy, that means you're doing a lot of things. And if you're doing a lot of things, that means you're doing valuable things. You're doing good things in the world. You're doing things you have to be. You're really pulling it together. You're so busy." And we hope that we do that. And sometimes we look at that other person and we also hope they're going to give us a little bit of a compassion and going, oh, he's so busy. And we go, oh, I know. Life is crazy, right? We do it all the time. That's the new, hey, how you doing? Fine. Instead of going, hey, I'm fine, we go, busy, crazy, life is nuts. And you go, what? Like, have we gotten ourselves to the point that we are losing our minds because we have jam-packed our life going somewhere, and I'm not sure we even know where we're going. We don't abide. But yet, I don't think that Jesus is inviting us to a life of disconnection, a life that we don't do anything, a life that we don't contribute anything. Not at all. Jesus, here in this passage, uses an analogy of growth. Jesus says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, is that you will bear much what? Fruit, right? You will bear much fruit and your fruit will remain. Jesus is tapping into that thing that matters the most to all of us. When it really comes down to it, you don't want to be busy. You want to be valuable, right? You don't want to be busy. You want your life to have meaning. You don't necessarily want to be busy having a resume filled with 1,000 things that you did. You want to be able to create something that lasts. When I think about my life in terms of busyness versus legacy, I'll choose legacy every time. I'll choose the people that have gone on to do great things because I have spent time with them, that my life has been poured into them because Jesus' life was poured into me through other people that poured into me. Did I create a world of life? Lent, we never talked about Lent, but Lent for me is always an important time, and I hope it's an important time for you. We're out of Lent. We're in Easter season now. If you're all of a sudden thinking, well, I guess we're at Lent already again. I know. Life goes fast, not that fast. We're in the Easter season. My Lent was important to me this year. My life is jam-packed. I know. I just said don't say that, right? But my life is full. You know, here, we're trying to do some amazing things here. And we've got so much going on here that would be enough. I'm so excited about the things that we're doing. And you know, on top of it, you know that I don't know if I've told many of you this, on the side, I'm working on my PhD. On the side. Just kind of working on a doctorate. Because of some of the things that we're talking about. Because of some of the result of the things that we're doing here at Wilson, trying to develop an intergenerational life of growth, I get invited to contribute to articles and books. It's all amazing. It's fun. I get to speak to other people, and I get asked to do things all the time. And I don't know if I've told you this, but in June, I'm getting married in June. And I don't know if you ever planned a wedding, there's a couple of things that you have to do to have this wedding happen. On top of that, I'm raising teenage boys. I don't know if you've ever done that. That's a lot. And then somewhere in the midst of it, I'm trying to be a good fiancé and maybe fit prayer in there a little bit and some time for myself And I think if I work it well, I can put sleep in there. You know, that would be pretty cool. You know what I did during Lent is I went to God and I said, I don't want a life where every time that I talk to somebody, I say, I'm busy. Like, I don't want to ever be. And people say to me all the time, you know, people that I love will say, I don't want to take your time. And I say, no, if I've given you that perception that you're taking my time, I'm giving the wrong perception. You are my time. And I spent time during Lent just saying, God, tell me those things that I have to drop, those things that I have to let go of, those things that are not going to allow me to abide in you. I spent that Lent trying to abide. And God gave me some incredible gifts. For example, I had one who... I was thinking, no, I shouldn't possibly do this thing or that thing. One of them was contributing to a chapter to a book. I got to tell you this. I was asked, are you ready for this? To be the voice of America. Right. Yeah, it's crazy to me too. To be the voice of America in a book on intergenerational ministry. Like, so what's going on in the United States now? And I'm like, I have no idea. Like, that's crazy. And I was asked to do it. I'm like, I'll take some time. I said, I would love that project. And that's great. During Lent, you know, that guy emailed me and says, I want to do this project. I got to tell you, I'm not going to be able to really get to it for 2 years. Can we hold on to that? And I said, yes, yes, we can hold on to it for 2 years. Abiding. Being present with God. One thing that I don't want to do is I don't want to get up here and tell you exactly what that means. But what I want to leave with you is this. If I am responding with the question, how are you doing? With life is busy. Life is crazy. Life is nuts. And I look across my life and I find that the answer to the question when I'm saying that is I'm saying that I don't have the time to do the things that my heart is really longing for. Those things that deepen my roots as a person. I'm trying to keep up. I'm running my family from this place to that place and I'm not sure what it's all for. I'm not sure what we're driving toward. And I find that the more I'm driving my kids to place to place to place, the more I'm losing track of them and my own life and my own self. To be able to say, oh, life is busy. Work is crazy. I'm working 10, 15 hours a day. And you find that you ask yourself the question, well, what am I doing this for? Because I'm losing track of the things that I'm wanting to do to begin with. Whenever we talk about things at church, we say, oh, I would love to do that, but I just don't have the time. Yeah. I don't have the time. I don't have the time to invest in the community of faith that's right here in our community, that community of faith that both can pour into me and make me better, and I can pour into them and make them better. And as we pour into one another, we become this powerhouse of grace that changes our community and our world. I'm sorry, I don't have the time. Jesus calls us in these moments to say, I don't want you to go chasing all of this stuff. You don't get any blue ribbons for how you finish a race like that. What I'm asking you to do is to abide in me. For us, abiding might take on different forms. It always involves spending time with Jesus. Always. Always involves spending time with Jesus through the Spirit of God that lives inside of us. But we have different ways of accessing that. Some of us can get up in the morning and spend some time in prayer. Some of us do it on the treadmill as we're, you know, maybe listening to music that connects us to God and we can talk that way. Some of us need long walks in the city or long walks in the woods. Some of us just need quiet time of just sitting in a chair all by ourselves, just meditating and being silent. Some of us really jump into the scriptures to learn and to know. Some spend time with other members of the family of Christ to find encouragement. I don't know how you abide in Christ, but I want to encourage you to do it. And I want to encourage you to do it, not because it's your religious duty, not because it'll make God happy, not because it'll make the preacher happy or the pastor happy. Do it because you know that your one chance of living the life that you really want to live, to contributing to this world the way that you want to contribute, to bearing fruit the way that you want to bear fruit, fruit that lasts for generations, is to abide. And you desperately abide. Abiding is not a relaxed kind of thing, though sometimes I hope that you can find relaxation in it. It is an aggressive abiding. I am going to abide in Christ. Because though we are not the dude, and as I turn and I say, take it easy, instead of saying the dude abides, we can say the church. So let's try this. Take it easy, church. Try it again. Take it easy, church. Join me in prayer. God, thank you for your love. Thank you for the gift of abiding. Thank you for the gift of your grace, the time that we were able to spend just considering ourselves in you. We thank you for your grace. Amen.